the pin? I don't know what that does.
What does it do?
Oh, it makes it go on top of everything.
Okay.
No matter what. It's always on top. That's what that button is.
That's what she said. So, hello, welcome to episode 67 of Dropping the X, an unofficial Hunter x Hunter podcast. I had to pause and get that out properly. I am Dame Dr. Foxy. Don't even say that's what she said. I am Dame Dr. Foxy. Hopefully bringing to you a quality episode of whatever the name of the show is. We will be covering episode 72 of Hunter x Hunter, which is what I assume you're here for, because we don't have any news. I'm joined by Diego, who's failed us by not finding anything to scrounge up to talk about.
No, not at all. I'm sorry. You can blame the news correspondent.
The one you didn't email to ask if there was anything?
Yeah, well, he said he's gone until March 30th.
Okay.
So we don't have one yet, but we will, because he was out and about doing his Japanese things and
his job probably.
His Japanese.
Because he teaches English to.
You know that for sure, or are we just assuming?
I am assuming. I haven't seen him in a while. So.
He's probably in Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's American and living in Japan. He's either a teacher or a soldier. One of the two. He lived in Okinawa. I'd put my money on soldier. So, he could be a college student. That's possible.
Yeah, that is true, too.
Send your bets in to hxhpodcast@gmail.com.
It's like, what is he? I don't know. Yeah, we don't have any news this week.
So we're also joined by Bullet Beast, a.k.a. Chains and Guns, a.k.a. I don't remember the other ones.
A.k.a. lots and lots of words.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Not much. We got an episode to talk about, whose name, of course, I don't remember.
The episode was Chase and Crap. But what I had a Chase and Conquer?
Chase and Crap. I like that one.
Yeah, that is a better title for the episode.
You're supposed to be on top of this, Diego. I'm disappointed.
I know. Again, professional podcast.
Professional, always.
I come here prepared all the way to my capacity to be prepared.
Yeah, Chase and Chance.
Which is
Chase and Chance
at a one right now. And Diego is in that zero, not even caring.
I'm always hovering like on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm always hovering around a 7 as far as preparedness goes. Uh-huh. I feel like you either fluctuate between a 9 and like a 2. Like, there'll be times where, like, I got this shit down. I watched the episode. I wrote down notes. I know the title of the episode. I'm on it. And other times you're like, this is the Always Rational K-pop podcast where we're talking about.
I didn't even finish that sentence, so I don't even know why.
Explain that. No. This is the One Podcast Prevails episode. That's what it is.
This is the unofficial One Piece podcast.
Yeah.
I am your host, Jammer, or whatever his name is. He's not going to listen to the show anyway.
Yeah. No, Jammer won't. Jammer, I have it from word of authority that Jammer won't, because as an inside joke, Pongo was going to call me Dragon Peas from now on. Then he texted me that. He's like, can I call you Dragon Peas from now on? And I was like, did you just listen to the episode? And he's like, yep. It's going to be an inside joke. I'd be like, it's pretty much outside now, but sure.
it's inside if you feel as though it's inside. So since we've got nothing, we should talk about episode 72.
Yes, we shall.
Or we could banter on endlessly.
Endlessly, again and again and again.
See, this is what happens when you talk to each other once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just find a topic of conversation. So how about that gay marriage, guys? Yay.
It'll happen, probably.
Eventually. Something.
Yeah.
Okay,
what did we just do? No. We will review this episode, and we will do the things, and we will act as if somebody cares somewhere.
Yes.
Okay,
it's a good show.
It is a good show. Like, I was gonna stealth recommend it to someone, and then I was like, in the last episode, they just pretty much make a whole masturbation joke. I don't think she'll appreciate this.
Wait, is it a Gintama fan? Because I'm pretty sure she will.
No, it's not a Gintama fan.
Ah.
I mean, it was a good guess, since it was a female.
Yes, that's why I threw that out there, because we know guys don't like Gintama. That's just weird.
Yeah, that is true. I did say she. She's a recovering Naruto fan, it seems. Naruto, whatever. I keep saying it that way. She's like, watching Fairy Tail. I'm not going to go back to the other show. I'll probably pick up something else, and in my mind I'm like, Hunter x Hunter, it's right there. And I'm like, yeah. But okay, basically, if you've seen this episode, Hisoka is basically, he's in a mood after playing that dodgeball game of epic proportions, and he seems to be fine, like, physically. I didn't see any injuries to his hand.
He bandaged his fingers and his hand.
I'm sure that healed it perfectly.
Yep. Yeah, again, anime. It's bandages cure everything.
Killua doesn't look okay, though. He keeps staring at his hands like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
And they're bandaged.
I won't be able to write anymore. Yeah, but his hands were bandaged from the last episode. They didn't... nobody helped Ahsoka. I think he just left. They were like, you're probably fine, right? And he's like, sure.
You know who did that? Machi, because Machi cares.
Yep. Because she cares about money.
And Ahsoka and she cares about the boss being okay. And Ahsoka is like, why can't the other people approach this guy? Like, that was a thing that I'm not sure was ever addressed. Because Vinx brings Ahsoka to the rest of the team and is like, okay, we found the guy and we need you to go and talk to him and negotiate with him. And it doesn't matter what his price is, we'll pay it. Because they have money. And Shalnark has a string tied around his finger that I assume leads to Machi. Mm-hmm. Or him. Whatever. And he's like, follow the string. And then Ahsoka just set off in a direction. Because I didn't see the string anymore. I'm sure he could still see it because Gil. And at the end of the string, presumably, is Machi and Nobunaga, who are having a conversation. And I forgot why I even went anywhere with this. There was something that I was supposed to address, and then I just didn't. And it left.
Are you talking about the whole entire telescope situation?
Or no, it was something that Bullabies like just said that I brought that up for, and I forgot. And you're gonna listen
bandages,
to the episode
because she loves money.
Yeah.
Oh, she cares about the boss, right?
Oh, so, about the boss. Yes.
They're having a conversation. They give him the telescope for reasons. And Hisoka looks through the telescope and sees, I don't remember his name. The ethnic guy that is now all wrapped up in ethnic costuming? I don't know. Yes. Clothes that work better in the desert? Or
the Nen remover guy. Simple as that.
To cover up his Nen beast that's, I don't know, probably licking him underneath there. And they tell him that that's the guy they need him to get. And he can't screw up no matter what. He's like, no, I got this, because there's something that I want. And he's like, you there in the forest, come out.
Hey, little girl or boy.
And he's like, I think they ask him about it, and he's just like, I just had a very exciting match. And I really feel like killing someone strange right now. Yeah. And Machi is like,
I feel like getting me some strange.
Oh, she's like, oh. It's like, okay, you better come out. Don't worry about it. And who walks out but Kalito Soldic, who was like, did I not do my Zetsu properly? And she's like, no, it was good. Nobunaga's like, he's just a freak. You can't concern yourself with him. They introduce him as number 4, as the replacement for Hisoka. So, clearly, they're not intending anytime soon to replace Pakunoda and Uvo.
They're still in mourning for them.
Yeah. And he says that they found the Nen Remover through his power, but he won't say what it is, because you don't if you want to live.
Yes.
And Hisoka is like, you look appetizing, was the word they used.
Yes, you look very appetizing.
And see, they did show that scene because you were worried about it.
I was concerned. because he's in the scene. He has this telescope that he is in the first show. He's stroking it, which is weird already.
He was stroking it in the manga. To be fair, like he had his hand wrapped around that shit, like it was his dick. Like there is no hiding it.
Yeah, it's like, clearly like he just had an exciting match and he is rock hard, right?
Yes.
And he needs some relief, which he could get through killing someone, or I guess, I don't know, having sex, probably. And so to show us this, to convey this information to us, he is stroking this telescope while talking to them. And in this, he is, I don't know, he's like moving it in a circular motion, which...
Like, to me, the way that I look at it, it reminds me like he has like a wine glass in his hand, like it's the motion that you do before you drink wine, but there's no, that's clearly some sort of
Venus thing.
Yes. Thank you. I try to be as PG no. as possible about this, it because no, this is just penis.
Penis is the scientific word for it, okay? Probably. Yes. The accepted word, anyway. There's probably another word that I don't pay attention to. The medical term, that's what it is. So,
the peni?
That's more than one. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So, that's what we're referring to. In case you watched it and you didn't pick up on it, he was stroking his phallic object in front of everyone, including Nobunaga, who I'm sure was incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, I'm sure he's seen his fair share of Hisoka activity.
Probably.
And he's just like, what the fuck? But to address the question that you asked earlier about why Hisoka is the one that's dealing with this shit, again, he was the only one that has contact with the boss, so he's the one who knows what's happening, the stipulations and everything, so that's why they need him.
And anybody is better than Finks.
Yes.
Well, yes.
Finks would probably kill him.
You don't go over there and be like, hey man, what do you do? Or like just punch him in the face, like,
no. Yeah, like strike him away.
Yeah. He's like, I swear to God, he ran right into this. I did not punch him. He ran into my fist.
I'm sorry, guys.
So the thing I actually was waiting for, which the every incarnation, this is what I like. It gets to Hisoka is gonna do this because he wants to fight the boss. And then he asks, like, the most ridiculous hypothetical question. So he's like, so, Machi, if it came down to it, who would you prefer to live, me or the boss? And she's just like, this is the dumbest question I've ever heard. But for some strange reason, I'm compelled to answer you. And she's like, I would prefer the boss to live. So he's like, okay, so if I killed him, what would you do? And she's like, this question is also dumb. But sure, I'll answer. If you killed him, I would use all of my energy to hunt you down at the furthest end of the earth so I could kill you. And she gets all serious with the strokes in her eyes, and he's just like, yes, that is the answer I wanted. And I'm like,
I assume he shoots a load off in his pants.
I'm sure.
I want you to chase me around the world like I'm Carmen Sandiego. Find me. Find me.
And you're a poor gumshoe.
Yeah.
Who's always getting taunted because you're always one step away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, oh no, time ran out. Carmen's not here. She just stole the Eiffel Tower. You fail.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like, you see fucking Hisoka on top of a fucking Zeppelin just taking off, like, giving a kiss, like, goodbye, Machi. Come find me again.
It's like, I'll get you next time, Carmen.
Right.
Shaking her fist at the sky. And like in my head as I'm watching this, I'm like, no, you're making his penis harder. That's the opposite of what we should be doing in this situation.
In all honesty, at this point, I don't think she gives a fuck.
No,
at
she
this point.
She doesn't care.
She's like, I will satisfy whatever you needed to get the boss back, and then we'll see. Because she says, like, if you really think you're gonna get him one on one, you are out of your fucking mind. Like, it's impossible that you're going to kill the boss, but in case you did, I would hunt your ass down. But then we go to Sesagara's group, and they're kind of planning around what's going to happen. They're trying to plan a strategy to how they're going to deal with Genthru's situation. So they talk about kind of fighting, or Gon's team going in and fighting, and then hurting one of the people so badly that they're going to need to use Breath of Archangel. And so at that point, Boucher, which is the a card that can be exchanged for Breath of Archangel once the Breath of Archangel has attained its transformation limit, that will come in handy for them to be able to get it. So at that point, they meet up, and it shows, you know, what cards the each side is missing. You know, you have Genthru's group, who's missing Patch of Shore and Lucky Alexandrite. And then Tetsugera's group, who's missing Breath of Archangel, Lucky Alexandrite, and Blue Planet. And as soon as they meet up, like, Genthru's like, okay, let's trade. And Tetsugera's like,
nope.
Nope. We're going to fight you, bitch. Come chase us. And so he basically takes off. Yeah, they use Levy. So they steal all these, like, yeah, because, again, fuck you. To troll him, be like, yeah, no, we're not going to do anything. So then we're going to run. And they check their decks or whatever, and everything's, they just lost some cards. And they basically get as many ons and backs. And I guess they got leaves for each one, too. Like, they each got a leave.
Yeah.
But, like, they have this whole strategy of just playing runaway, trying to keep Genthru to chase them.
Mm-hmm. And keep him pissed off. So he keeps chasing.
It's like this cat and mouse game, because that's how you play this game. You don't actually card battle, you just run away until you run out of cards, and then at that point you're like, fuck you, like, just punch you in the face.
But another interesting thing that Genthru and the guys started to do, because they didn't chase them right away.
Mm-hmm.
What they started to do was harass people that came out of the shop store in Macedora, the card store. That was dumb. It came out of the card store in Macedora. And, like, the first guy they grabbed, like, you don't see any of it. It's just, like, a noise. There's a grabbing sound, and there's a guy getting punched in the face repeatedly sound. Then they're looking through his book, taking his cards. He's like, take all the C-rank cards, because we're jerks. And they,
Well, to add insult to injury, he grabs him by the shoulder, and he's like, have you heard of the bomber? And he's like, I've heard rumors. It's like, well, I'm the bummer. So now you have a bomb. It's like, oh, fuck.
He looks through and he's like, okay, you don't know anyone from Sesagera's group. Lucky you. Here's what we're going to have you do. You're going to constantly go make money for us, and then you're going to buy up a company's and Magnetic Force. Because we said so.
All of this is after... Because this is actually after chasing for a while, and they're like, wait, these guys aren't running out of cards? Running away, so...
So the cards are coming from somewhere.
And someone's helping them with the cards.
Gorinu is, like, above their heads in the tree as they're figuring this out.
With his own penis, I mean,
telescope. So, he's like, he calls back. He's like, I think they caught on to me because they started kidnapping people from the store and forcing them to do their dirty work. And then they get this guy that has met Sesagera and two other guys from the group. And they're like, oh, bad luck. And they blow up his face.
Boom.
Yeah. It's like not even any questioning or anything happening. It's just like, oh, straight to the face.
He says, I have one question. Explosions? That's the end of him.
So basically, if you've met anybody in Sesagera's group, they're killing you because you're automatically under suspicion of being the person that's getting them accompany cards and all that. And Sub and Barra are posted up outside of the store, so nobody can walk in and then out without him grabbing you.
Oh, I forgot that they get shot at with an arrow.
That was funny. They were asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were trying to take a nap.
They're all sitting next to a tree instead of like in a building. Sitting by a tree, sleeping. At first in my head, I'm like, why are they by this tree? That's just weird. And then out of the bushes, an arrow comes at them.
The guy's like, ha-ha, bitch! Runs away.
Grabs it. And he's like, god damn it, they're shooting at us with arrows. The dude's like, accompany, and leaves. Like, damn it, we can't even sleep.
It's like shooting us with arrows and shit.
At this point.
It's like, now we have to chase them. Even if we don't want to. So they, yeah, they finally...
what you get from shooting.
They finally collect a whole bunch of companies and magnetic forces, and they're like, okay, now we got this. We have to have more than them, because they can't get more. And they continue chasing.
Yeah, and that's the part where we find out that one of the guys, his secret technique called Fly on the Wall, it's a silent worker, where it's kind of like he gets to see where Genthru is at all times, so which is how they've been able to stay on top of him, because they start talking about how they're moving from location to location, and they have no idea how they're catching on so quickly. So they know that they're, and Genthru kind of figures out that they're using Nen, that there's a guy that kind of has radar. Mm-hmm. So at that point, Genthru, now that he's got all these cards, finally realizes, okay, cool. Now I'm going to fucking play this game now, and I'm going to chase them. And the guy summons the radar thing, and as soon as he like summons it, he realizes that they're on their fucking way there. And so the chase begins, where they just start running away from place to place.
They also plan for the event when they run out of a company, what they're going to do next.
Yes. And so, all while this is happening, Gon and Biscuit are training, while Killua is trying to think up a plan. And currently, the first training event they're doing, is as soon as Biscuit grabs Gon's arm, he has to react immediately. Because in a real fight with the bomber, if he grabs you, like, that's whatever he just grabbed, that's exploded.
Yep.
And so he has to be ready for that. And then when Gon did enough of that, Biscuit had Gon do this training where he has to stand, like, do a handstand, and have the rest of his body straight up and down, then push off the ground with his aura. And he had to get, like, pretty far into the air. Like, that's basically, that's his goal.
Yeah, it was really funny seeing the difference in power. Like, she's, okay, here we go. Now you're going to be doing, you know, put your hand down and just with your aura, just pull yourself off the ground. And she, like, fucking leaps, like, 10 feet off the ground. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, as soon as you figure this out, you'll be good.
So he's like, all right, I got this. All right.
Yeah.
Handstand and boop.
Yeah, he's like, boop, maybe boop, 3 inches.
Probably.
Yeah.
He just keeps going, God damn it, move.
Yeah. So it's actually really funny. It was really funny to see a humbling, you know, moment for Gon where it's like, yeah, you're not going to get everything on the first fucking try. So you just got to sit there. And he spends like a shitload of time too working on it. And he never improves.
Yeah.
And so he never improves.
And 5 days through that. Can you give him a hint? Please, because this is getting pathetic. And if he can't pick this up before the deadline, we're pretty much screwed. And she's like, I would love to give him a hint, but this experience with Nen is different for everybody, so I don't really know what to say. And she talks about how she told him it was level 2 training, but it's level 5.
Yes.
And she's like, ordinarily, if I went through the path, he'd be at level 3 by now, but we don't have time for that. So, if he can jump up to 5, awesome. But you need to plan for the event that it doesn't happen.
So, again, Killua gets all sad, starts looking at his hands, and like, then he's
if
like...
If only I could fight.
Yeah, he's like, okay, so tell us what your power is. He's like, okay, just let me know what your power is, so that way I can figure out, you know, what the fuck to do. So she's like, okay, here you go. You want to know what my power is? And she summons her magical, I'm going to go with assistition. Is that how you pronounce that? I can't remember.
Close enough.
But she's like this, yeah, it's like her name is Cookie.
Yes. She's a pro. She massages better than anything. And yes. Like, Killua's...
She massages your massages with her massaging.
Like, she massages you amazing... so well that... Like, she can give you a cleanse through a massage, which I didn't think it was possible. Like, unless you had to consume something for a cleanse, but okay.
I really like how much time was spent on her summoning video, or like her motion, her opening, like, her introduction. And it kind of like, I know that one of our Twitter followers said this, but it's fucking hard to believe sometimes that you're like, this is the same, the same show that I was watching not that long ago where someone's freaking face was getting hit with a dodgeball. Now I'm watching this girl get summoned and she like has this watery skin thing that makes your body like look all nice and clean and shiny. And
like as she, as Biscuit is explaining it, I'm like, this is perfect power for Biscuit. This makes sense. And Kitla's face at first, like, he looks excited. And then he's like, oh, damn it, no. This is, no, this is not what I wanted. Why is this your...
You've named at least 15 powers. None of them are combat related.
It's like, why are you so proud of this? This is useless. He's like, what do you mean it's useless? This is the best superpower ever. So you understand? And in my head, I'm like, yeah, if you're an old woman... Yes, it's the best superpower ever.
Well, and the way that she looked at it, too.
Like, 13 and you're about to die. This is a horrible superpower.
Yes!
Yeah. It's like, wait, hold up, hold up. Before you kill me, let me get a quick fucking massage in. Because I would like to be on my deathbed with no kinks in my back.
I would like to look gorgeous. I have to get my skin exfoliated.
Yes. I would like a quick manicure and pedi.
My skin has to be smooth. You understand. But yeah. Then you gotta be like, so would you like a massage? As you can see, this is... like, this... Everything in place. Look at me. I'm 55 years old. Look here. And then, hopefully, Genthru would be like, you know what? I haven't had a massage in a long time. My back has just been killing me because I've been sleeping next to trees.
That is why I'm so angry. It's because nobody will touch me. Just because I'm the bomber.
I mean, you tell one person you're the bomber, and all of a sudden they act like you're untouchable. So,
yeah.
And then you trick him into getting a massage, and I don't know what you do next. Hit him over the head with a giant rock? Because apparently that's Killua's plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point that comes into play.
It's like, hey, you think this rock is big enough? Then they get this rock that's like, I don't know, the size of a dinosaur. Because they are tiny.
I'm like, yeah, you need to be a little bit more specific than the size
of a dinosaur. There are dinosaurs that with such chickens, okay?
I'm like a fucking velociraptor, like...
Obviously, when she said the word dinosaur, she imagined a Tyrannosaurus
Rex. Exactly. Yes. At least. Maybe the size of a Brachiosaurus. I don't know.
I was thinking more along the size of a Brachiosaurus, too, just because it's the size comparison makes sense.
Either way, it's enormous, and it doesn't have little arms, okay? It's a full-figured rock. That is roughly the size of a T-Rex. Or, if you prefer, it's the size of a Brachiosaurus. I don't know. I don't know what your dinosaur fantasy entails.
I, in all honesty, like all I can remember from my... fantasy of the dinosaurs is having them on, like, you ride them and they're shooting lasers and, like, shit is getting awesome just because there's space involved too, like, they have, like, jetpacks.
Why would you give dinosaurs jetpacks? That's, like...
Because you can use them to fight the bad guys, like, and the evil aliens.
Right next to giving them sentient thought, like, jetpacks is, like, the next worst thing that you can do.
No, because here's the thing. They're on the good side. They're the weapon we use to fight aliens.
Look, if there are good dinosaurs, they're definitely going to be evil dinosaurs, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Some of the dinosaurs are going to be jerks, and as soon as they get jetpacks, they're defecting to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
I don't think that that's just a giveaway. I don't think as soon as you give someone a jetpack, they're like, haha, now I'm evil, fuck
yes,
you.
Yes, because now I have a jetpack, I can do everything I've ever wanted.
No, I watched The Rocketeer. That is not how that went
down.
That
was a Disney movie.
So, it was Nazi.
All Disney movies go down better than you think they should. So, as soon as get the jetpack, I am immediately switching into evil overlord mode. That's just the way it is. Because I have a jetpack, and most of humanity does not have a jetpack. So, I could...
So, you're telling...
I could zip in, do evil stuff, and then fly away on my jetpack while cackling to myself, and nobody could do anything about it.
Also, I'm still a dinosaur.
That is true.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know. But you're half
robot, too, though. You could wreck stuff. as a dinosaur without a jetpack. So
plus, you also have lasers because, like as I told you, that's what you used to fight the built-in lasers to dinosaurs.
All they would need now is sentience, and they just got it.
Like, why would you give an Ankylodon lasers? Like, he's already like a tank. Now he's a tank with lasers and hammer
tails. Because everything makes lasers makes everything better.
So this is why we don't let children design dinosaurs.
Yeah, clearly. So wait. When you were saying earlier about Disney movies ruining things, you mean that if I had a magical car, a bug, my life isn't going to be awesome like Lindsay Lohan?
No, it would not be awesome. Aww. It would actually be kind of sad. Because I'm pretty sure some of the older Herbie movies were really sad.
I think so. I honestly saw one of them back when I also watched Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for like the once and only time. No, because it was kind of like a Disney went through a car phase where they're trying to make cars into living things until Pixar came along and ruined their sequels.
Yes.
By giving Cars 2.
We get it.
It's merchandising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid Larry the Cable Guy.
Just don't like he ruined that movie. What? I said don't act like he ruined that movie. The rest of it was pretty awful, too.
I'm aware that Owen Wilson has his own downside, too. That was all him. It was just horrible. Why would you think he can voice anything?
I don't know. Because money.
You didn't have to look at his face.
And yet you could still see it in that car.
That's how Pixar works.
Yeah. You could still see it in the car. And it's like, ah. I could still see the nose.
They will
it's not going
animate
away.
You as something completely different, but yet I could look at the character's face and still see you. I appreciate that on like an artistic level, but on the level where I don't want to look at this person, I do not appreciate that. Mm-hmm. So at some point we were talking about, I don't know, Hunter x Hunter? Probably.
Yes.
What? That anime? We do that?
Something about... Somehow we got into this tangent of powers, but Biscuit explains to Gon about how he has to build up aura, like, kind of give him some sort of advice on how to do it. Like, he has to figure, like, he's shooting aura from the palm of his hand, and, like, the greater the power, the greater the aura will be, so they can, you know, if you get, like, up close to somebody, you could just push him and push him away from you, kind of create some space. And that, you know, you're not necessarily going to hurt him or kill him or whatever, but you can create space and then from there kind of like plan your attack. And that's why we're doing this. And I think that's the end of that part of the Gon, Killua, Biscuit thing. Because after that we go back to Setsugera, right?
Yeah, and it's the face-off like face-off.
Because they ran out of a company. And they ran out of the other card they were using. I forget. Where all four of them were using it to basically go straight to the town. And even though they were aware that, what's his face, Kentaro only had guys he'd conned into being Sub and Barrow with him. And they were like, we should totally fight. And Itazugaro was like, no, not until we have the perfect odds. And so once he realizes that they're just about out of cards, he calls Sub and Barrow back and like, meet me with them. We got this. Then they're like, nope, leave. And they slip out of the game and go back to Patera's mansion. And immediately they realize something is wrong because there were armed guards posted at the door and there's nobody there. And I forget the name of the guy that he's calling, but he's calling for one of the guards who comes down the stairs.
Satsubashi or something like that.
It's Sabasushi.
He's like, what? I was sleeping. He's like, sleeping? Why were you sleeping? You're a guard. You get paid to stay awake. What is your problem? And he's like, what's your problem, dude? You don't even know what's been going on here. It's like...
it's like, don't tell me to fucking watch my role. You watch your role.
Like,
shit went down while you guys were
like,
away.
Gabe is over. Like, we got severance pay and everything. He's like, what? Severance? What's going on? And he runs to the door and he's like, Patera, open up. Tell me what the deal is. What's the haps? And Patera is like, go away. I'm sad.
I am crying.
Like, I am old and sad now.
Like, why are you sad? And he's banging on the door and it's like, look, I will pay you all of the money I promised you and you can do whatever you want with the cards. Just leave me alone. And he's crying, and Batera's just confused because he didn't really say anything. And he walks back to the group, and they're like, what's going on? And he's like, I don't even... Batera's being weird.
But before he can even finish that, fucking Genthru shows up and kills four Sabasushi.
He had, like, three lines, and he clearly hated his job.
He was taking a nap. Bitch was done. He was like, I'm just here for the overtime at this point.
Like, that dude was still, like, in that daze, like, right when you just wake up, you don't really know what's happening, you're just kind of going along with shit.
Right.
Like, he was just, the game is done, like, we got severance pay. He probably, like, yawned, stretched a little, and then you hear, like, a thunk in the computer room, and he's like, oh, what's that? And he's like, oh, fuck, dudes, and then boom.
Yeah. Explosion.
Obviously, Sasagara came back here as a last resort thinking, okay, there's going to be a whole bunch of guards, and, like, we're going to be fortified, and if they follow us out of the game, we can protect ourselves, when clearly the answer is no. Like, Batera is not on that run. He's no longer about that life.
Nope.
All
that money he spent this whole life.
It's like, all of this time just wasted. And obviously we know what's going on. But preview, the girl in the picture is back. And whatever. The picture is...
Yeah. It is not... It's not Gaunt's mother, like someone asked a long, long time ago.
At the beginning of this arc.
The opening.
No.
Right.
It is not his mother. It is someone else specific to this arc that's specific to the next episode that also apparently begins to cover the fight between everyone and everybody else, which is good.
Yeah, because we're only down to what? How many? Six episodes left?
I don't know, but next week it's April.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're down to six episodes, I think.
I mean, that's kind of what I see from the I keep wanting to say Hunt-cyclopedia. Great Island tutorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are six more slots.
They could technically stop before then, but I guess that's just... I don't know.
Something around six.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, yeah, so then that was the... What was it called? That was the end of the episode, because... we kind of see a preview of Gon and Kill... Or not Gon... Well, yeah, Gon keeps training or whatever because he gets a card or they get a card or something and they start thinking of a plan on what to use. And then we get to see that this week's tutorial was fake. And I, again, was confused as to what the fuck was happening. I just...
Maybe his head was exploding? I
really don't know. It's just Killa was just explaining fake. It's like, yeah, you know, if you have a card, it can become another card, but it doesn't count towards the binding completion, and it can be transformed into an item, and then all of a sudden, funny face. Sure.
Again, this is still a kid's show. I know it sounds crazy.
I get it, but it's just funny to me that, like, you know, last week we had clearly a naked little girl and Killua going all apeshit over it. And now we have Amuse Gon. And I think they just ran out of ideas. I really think so.
Or it's some pun that we missed because...
Yep, because Japan.
Oh, probably. But you're mentioning the preview for next week. Again, just shows everybody doing everything and fighting and shit.
Everybody fighting. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Their kicks were fast as lightning. And you know what? Yeah. It was a little bit frightening.
It was.
But they fought with expert timing. So everybody was okay.
Yeah.
Except for the people that weren't.
Yeah.
They died.
The people that got exploded.
And I was surprised that I found out Barry's name in this episode. Because I was like, who is this guy? And then he was like, Barry, your turn.
Oh, your favorite your favorite guy?
For now. I don't even remember who dies, so... Can't be my favorite forever. He probably dies.
If he does die, though, we will have a
Barry memorial episode.
A Barry memorial episode. All the great scenes of Barry montage. I'll go back and I'll find every single
was
scene
he was
in.
Was he the one that
and
boxed?
I'll just run it.
I don't remember.
Yes, he was.
So he
the
had
one that
one highlight for his.
He had that highlight, plus he was also at the very, very beginning of the arc, too, as he's walking with Sasagara.
I thought that guy with the two-toned hair was going to be cool. And then Ganthu just blew up his face just to be a jerk. Like, you can't run at me. Not from behind.
Yeah.
No. And boom. And they came back and they were like, he's dying. And Ganthu was like, I don't care. The weak die. That's what happens.
Yeah.
Some people are violently insane. And the weak people die. So
people just want to watch the world burn.
Yep. Ganthu wants to watch the world explode.
And again, war never changes.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on the episode?
It did the things I wanted it to do. And it also somehow, as opposed to the previous series, it gave Hisoka Scene muscle action, because that's what we needed, apparently.
Yes.
We needed to see his arm flex as he did that.
You can always improve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice that it's a lot better because his clothing actually has, like, stuff on it. As opposed to in the OVA where he's just wearing, like, a plain shirt and pants instead of his fancy crap.
Oh, you mean, like, his actual, like, his outfit.
Yes.
Heart and diamond
yes. thing?
Yeah.
His clown garb.
Yes, they got rid of his motif, and I appreciate that it's back.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, I mean, it's kind of like his signature style, you know? He has to always have every single symbol on his... I was going to call it icon, but it's more of a symbol.
I bet. Because
he's got the teardrop tattoo. He's got the star tattoo. Well, not the tattoo, but not like... makeup. I'm sure it's makeup, yeah.
Yeah, he cleans his face. When yeah. he's shower. So, I bet you
Console.
That when Gon and Killua saw him naked, as punishment, they threw his clothes in the lake, and, like, the colors ran. So, just bleached everything and put it on.
Yeah. Again, he didn't have time.
He was too busy admiring the little kids.
To notice that they were ruining his clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I could save my clothes, but if I do that, I'm going to miss all this booty.
Plus, well, think about it. He's like, do I really need my clothes? No, I could just walk around naked. That's their loss. That's my gain.
That's probably everyone's gain. I'm pretty sure that Hisoka is confident enough to just walk around naked. It's the rest of the world that can't deal with it. I personally again, would have a huge problem with that.
If you were, like, fucking yoked like Jesus, again, in that scene, I don't remember him having that many muscles in the manga or the OVA, but my god, Madhouse, you made him look like, again, Jesus.
Fucking Adonis. So
yeah.
Like, they invented muscles for Hisoka in that scene and shit.
I why wouldn't you be confident walking around like that? I'd be like, yeah.
And you reduce people who are really strong. Like Biscuit to what she was while he was standing there naked. So he could totally get away with that.
Mm-hmm. I'm betting to say that could his charms
were. Could you imagine that conversation with Finks if all of his clothes were gone?
He's sitting there like, what are you gonna do? Come at me, bro. He's like, no, I'm cool. We're good.
I gotta go.
Just chill.
He just, like, picks up Kalato, throws him at Hisoka, and leaves.
Hey, bro, my eyes are up here. Come on, pick it up.
He's just gonna be like, I have a thing. I need to go and take care of it.
Far away.
You guys can handle this, alright? Good. I'm out.
Well, clearly, again, his charm doesn't work on Machi. No. She's seen him kid. Or at least I would like to think so, because a shower scene that was in the OVA that wasn't in the manga or the...
Yeah,
not the OVA, but in the first series.
In the previous TV series, she saw him naked, and it did nothing for her.
Yeah, so, she was like, whatever, dude.
Unless, like, she managed to walk out of the room and then melted into a puddle or whatever.
But she did. Melted into a puddle of masturbation.
And, like, as soon as she, like, closed the door, she's like, oh, God, she reaches down from there, just like, whoosh!
Oh, God.
Oh my god.
So much wetness. Just
she everywhere. Just like strings herself up off the roof with wire like Sacha and Gintama.
Yes. Perfect.
Like I imagine she would try to make it down the hall just out of fear that Hisoka might hear and come outside.
Right. It's like, is someone making macaroni and cheese out there? What is happening?
Making macaroni and cheese.
Or alternatively, someone is showering with herbal essences. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know he has to have those hair products, though.
Of course.
He loves his hair, so you can only get it to go that way if you're using that or that Australian shampoo with the kangaroo in the bottle.
I know what you mean, but I don't remember the name of it.
I cannot remember it either.
Aussie essences? I don't know.
No. I have to look it up.
It's... God, I want to say it's like... No, I was going to say it's Foster's, but that's the beer. That is completely different.
Foster's Australian yeah, for shampoo.
For shampoo.
That would be hilarious. Well, actually, there's a... it's called Aussie.
Aussie? Oh, okay.
See, yeah. I knew it was Aussie.
It's not that creative. I thought it got like a lot more like legit. Just because every single time
had a kangaroo in the commercial.
Yeah, they're just yeah. like, look, we'll make it Australian, and stupid Americans will buy it. So
mm-hmm. yeah, because they think that Australians have the strongest hair ever. Because you know they have to deal with the wilderness and
they don't even
wallabies and
see you're koalas. You're thinking way too far. Mm-hmm. See, the Americans don't assume that Australians have to deal with everything, with anything. They probably think it's just like America, but upside down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, totally. All you have to do is just put some, like, white person in there and then have someone in the background playing the didgeridoo the whole time. And they were like, oh, this must be authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put some shrimp on the bobby. Okay, done. Scene. Totally Australian, mate.
Yes. So what are we talking about, again, that we should not have been talking about? I believe...
Thoughts on the episode?
Yes, we derail a lot.
Derail hard. This is what happens when we don't have news.
Oh, yeah, let's blame it on the news, not the fact that this is actually somehow entertaining.
Nope.
Yes.
Blame the news.
So, Willoughbys, what did you think of
fucking
the episode?
Second piece.
Okay. So, all the Hisoka antics were wonderful and horrible, as they always are, and the rest is just waiting for those three fights that are happening in the next episode.
Yeah, it does look awesome, because they all pair up with one of the bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Gon, of course, gets Gentoo, because, sure.
Because he's the hero.
Like, let's not put the person with 30 years of fighting experience against the bomber.
Nope.
Let's give it to the kid. I mean, to be fair, he might actually match up better, but I don't know that.
After seeing his potential last episode, though, with that much power, you know that they're going to be like, okay, Biscuit knows that this game was made by Jin for him, so go at it, kid. This is a challenge that your dad made.
That's not going to help him in an end fight.
Nope.
No, but you gotta test out your skills. You gotta make sure to be like, okay, I've taught you everything that I know. Now go. There is another sort of situation where, like, I jumped you up from level 1 to 5, giving you this opportunity. So, if you don't defeat them, I will. But I'm giving you a chance. Like, that's what makes a good role model /
sure. sensei. What I'm going to let you do is I'm going to throw you out into the deep end. And if you don't learn, if you can't swim, you'll drown, which means you'll be dead. But don't worry, I will swim the shit out of this pool if you die.
Yep. In your honor, in your memory.
Yeah. It's like, I will come from behind and beat this guy. Don't worry about
it. That is the best kind of teacher, if you think about it. The one that's sort of like, just complete assholes. Like in Kill Bill. That old man. Yep. He was a complete dick. And she came out like, oh, such a badass. I'm trying to think what other, like, senseis that were just complete assholes to their children or to the students. And then, like, what was,
Wing?
Yeah, Wing, I guess. Yeah, Wing. Sushi gets fucking destroyed all the time.
Jin, also.
Yeah, Jin. And Kung Fu Panda.
Sure.
That guy, Dustin Hoffman's character, the Chinese panda, he was a complete dick to Po, and Po ended up being, you know, like, fuck you, I'm going to show you better, so I'm going to actually be the Dragon Warrior. And I can't think of any other at the top of my head, but...
But if you remember great senseis, or just teachers, though not ones from your high school, because we wouldn't know.
It's like I had
we wouldn't get the context, I'm sorry.
Fucking Mr. Smith. You're like, what?
You can send those in at hxh@gmail.com.
HXH podcast, please.
Yeah, oh, at gmail.com. Sorry. HXH podcast, yes.
I don't know what address that would go to. I don't even, I'll have to look it up and be like,
hi. It's like, fuck, yeah. We gotta go pick that up now.
Yeah. Be like, why are people sending in things about their teachers? I don't get it. Like,
we didn't ask for this. Yeah. So, Diego, I don't believe you shared.
Yes, you did not.
No. Share things. Let's see. The one scene that really again caught my eye was the whole summoning of Cookie. Just because it like always baffles me that this is the same show. That just, and I'm pretty sure in a couple episodes we're going to see the real form of a certain character. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, let's throw in as much, like, cutesiness as we possibly can into this. Because there's not very many females in the show, so fan service is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go, kids. And other than that, again, you know, the same stuff that you got to reiterate what you guys said, basically everything about Hisoka and the telescope penis and the, again, just the chasing was actually pretty awesome. I really liked it in the new one with the updated animation and then
okay?
Oh yeah, and Batera.
Yeah, like with
he was just weeping,
losing his life. Yeah,
yeah,
weeping constantly, openly, just straight up. Just leave me alone.
It's like, you don't know what happened to me.
You don't know my life.
Just take your damn money.
It's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it. Game over, man. Game over.
Game over.
So, yeah, overall, again, it was a good episode. And like you said, Foxy, it did what it needed to do. And now we're on to the climax.
Good.
Yep.
Shouldn't we tell people where to find us before we go to the climax?
HXHpodcast.wordpress.com, Twitter.com/HXHpodcast, Facebook.com/HXHpodcast. Voicemail number is 954-324-7722. The forum is ssanetwork.freeforum.org. Okay, pretty sure that's everything.
Alright.
Yep.
So I guess we only got one?
A tweet. We got one that says the climax is a giant rock, or at least it will be soon, from Wazaraku, and from Altsoon. We got, I guess Soka's penis is a little old now, huh? Climaxed enough times. So
I don't know. Probably. I'm pretty sure it climaxed in this episode.
Yeah, well, probably.
Probably. I'm sure it just climaxes constantly. Yeah, whatever.
Yep.
More importantly. Thank you for writing in what you think the climax is. Yep. That's all great, but the climax is still Hisoka's penis. See you guys later.
I will not be a part of this.
Eventually we're going to make you say it. You're going to say it in unison with all of us.
No.
向かい風と知っていながら、それでも進む理由がある。だから友よ、置いてくダメだ。 だろう身につけたもの抱え込んだもの手放した時始まる何かうまく生きてくレシピを